Okay, so let's finish off our initial investigative reviews with number 12, 2364. Regards to Simon Escalada DBM, we are going to combine this with section number 5, item number 5. FYI, and then Tracy, if you want to read.
Yep, so this is a straight divorce.
It's section number 4 now. I'm
sorry,
sure.
Section 4.
Case 2364, the complainant is the Arizona State Veterinary Medical Examining Board, and the respondent is Simon Escalada, DBM. At the December 14th, 2022, Arizona State Veterinary Medical Examining Board meeting, the board opened an investigation regarding respondent's conduct, which is actually non-compliance with Board Order 2242, regarding Simon Escalada DBM. So this was a straight to board case for you guys to discuss and consider.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Lohi, it's all you.
So I'm gonna start off with a question for staff. We don't usually put in the order that they need to come to observe a meeting, do we?
We do not.
Does anybody recollect why we put it in this one?
Yeah, I do.
I'll share my recollection. Yeah. I believe it had to do with the fact that he said he previously served on the board and yet seemed unfamiliar with how we operated. So I know there was some discussion around that. And the order was specific that it include the IIRs and the informals.
And the informals, okay. Yeah. All right, I just couldn't recall that it was in there, and I went to look for some others, and I couldn't find any others.
That's unusual.
It was in there, so okay.
It's mainly because of his claimed past experience and yet still not understanding how the board operated.
All right, so I'm gonna kind of take these in reverse order, do the section 4, 5.
Mm-hmm.
And answer his question first. No, when he was here for his initial investigative review or informal, whichever one it was,
mm-hmm.
No, that does not count. Right?
Yeah.
So we don't need to vote on that, right? We just need to keep direct staff to give him that answer? No, it doesn't count. And then I would also move to approve the CE he submitted for those 3 hours.
Second.
Okay, a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Okay, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Nay.
Okay.
All right, and then going back to, so that should take care of that one, right?
Mm-hmm.
Going back to the case 2364, that was a non-compliance, but you had trouble getting stuff compliant with. So he's finally got that part done and on the path. So I would make a motion to dismiss 2364 with issuing a letter of concern recommending retirement and the sale of the practice before the next license renewal.
What was that? I'm sorry.
Dismiss 2364,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
With a letter of concern,
mm-hmm.
Recommending retirement and the sale of his practice before the next license cycle.
Is that an order or it's just a recommendation?
So a letter of concern because we dismissed it.
Right, but so if it's just a recommendation.
Then we can open another case or something else.
Right.
Because there's a real chance that we approve this doesn't mean he's gonna get it done.
Right, right.
Or on time or submitted or
right.
Whatever, right?
Right?
There's still things he can trip over.
I'm not quite following this, I'm sorry.
We opened a case for non-compliance.
Yes.
Okay. Right.
We're going to dismiss that with a letter of concern.
With a letter of concern.
Mm-hmm.
That letter of concern is we're concerned that he's still working.
Yeah.
And that he still owns a practice.
I mean, I know we've directed people in the past of saying, hey, you probably should just retire, but is that something that we'd want to memorialize in a letter of concern, or would that get us in trouble? I mean, I don't disagree necessarily.
Yeah, sure. I think we'll, you know.
I'm going off the board.
You guys can do that.
Mark, it isn't a letter of concern. It specifically says it's got to be something that could in the future be related to a future violation.
His adherence to the terms of the consent agreement.
Another way to say it.
Yeah.
Concerned about his lack of timely adherence to the terms of the consent agreement, something like that.
So not actually mention retirement? Or the sale of the property?
Yeah. No, if you know, if staff wants to have a conversation with him outside of the letter of concern, that's something that could be shared.
All right, then I'll amend my motion to make the letter of concern about the difficulty complying
with the terms.
With the terms of the consent agreement, of his consent agreement in place.
You can even say terms in spirit.
Terms in spirit.
So do we have a second on the
second.
Letter?
Second.
Okay, if there's no further discussion, a motion to dismiss and issue a letter of concern. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay.
And Madam Chair, I make another motion to direct staff to advise and counsel Dr. Escalata on retirement and sale of his practice.
Okay. Okay, all right. Let's go ahead and do, so we'll do number six, 2280, James Crawford, DVM. Board may review, discuss, and take action on completion of continuing education as required by board order and may return license to active status.
We got more than enough. CE units. I counted 5.5 and he was required to have 4.
Okay, so would you like to make a motion to return back to static, Jane?
I move that we approve the completion of the continuing education and return his license to active status.
Second.
Okay, a motion and a second. There's no further discussion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, motion carries. Now on to number 7, 2184, regards to Lorna Landman, DVM. Board may review, discuss, and take action on failure to timely comply with board order as it relates to continuing education. Action may include opening a new complaint for non-compliance. Mr. Lougheed.
Madam Chair, I move we open a new case for non-compliance.
Second.
Okay, motion and a second. Open.
Before we do a vote on that, I had recused myself from a couple of these. Is this in relation to the ones that I recused myself from?
Let me see.
And the voting screen is up.
Yeah, well, we're still okay.
You just complicate everything today.
I do. I just really want you to miss me when we're finally done here. I just want to make sure.
This is because it was a two-pack, the one that you were using.
Yeah.
I don't think.
Okay. Okay. Then we can go.
Okay. So a motion and a second to open a new case for non-compliance. There's no further discussion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Okay.
Motion. Aye with frustration.
Passes. All right. On to number 8, 2225, in regards to John McWhorter, DVM. Board may review, discuss, and take action on failure to timely comply with board order as it relates to continuing education. Action may include opening a complaint for non-compliance.
Ditto.
Lougheed gets the fun ones today.
Ditto. No, Madam Chair, I move that we open a new case for non-compliance.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion passes.
And there's a 30-day grace period to update the license, so we're fine until January 31st, is that right, Arthur?
Say that again.
There's a, because he renewed on the 11th of January for his license.
Yes.
Did I open the wrong one again? Okay. So, but you have a 30-day grace period, so we don't have to do anything on that part, right? A late renewal.
He didn't renew, like...
Did I open the wrong one again?
Are we talking about Mike Warder still?
Yeah, on the staff memo. There was an update, it was renewed.
Well, just to give you a reference that he did renew, but he didn't check the mail to do this other stuff.
But it's not late at that point. Okay, that's what, yeah, there's, because there's 30-day period for it before it's late.
That's February 1st, if he had not renewed.
Okay, that's an easier way to say it, thank you.
Okay, number 21-146, regards to John Opplinger, DVM. Board may review, discuss, and take action on completion of continuing education as required by board order and may return license to active status.
Madam Chair, I move we approve the completion of Dr. Opplinger's continuing education as required by board order and return his license to active status.
Okay.
And Madam Chair, and this is the one that got continued or with the consent agreement so that he only limits his practice to working at the shelter for shelter animals, that particular rescue animals. So he's not ready, he's not ready to go back to active status because he has that other.
Okay, with restrictions.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Because that's another consent agreement that's already in place.
That's in the process.
Yeah,
right.
So I'll second that.
Okay, we have a motion and a second.
Thank you, Victoria.
All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion passes. Okay, the last one here is 22-122 in regards to David Pitkin, DBM. Board may review, discuss, and take action on update report from the Ohio Physicians Health Program. Ms. Sullivan, you are the lead.
Yes, as I understand it, this is a status report, and this meets his requirement for a biannual update to us on his compliance, and that biannual compliance fits in with our renewal timing. So I move we don't need it. Do we need to take any action?
No.
Okay.
Okay, good deal. We're on to the section number five. We're already done with number one. Yay. Number two, board may review, discuss, and take action on veterinary license renewal applications. Okay, let me get my notes here. Sign the lead. So the first one is Joshua Harvey, DVM. Okay, so he had a vet board complaint in Arkansas. I wrote, he had a good narrative. Try to even remember the details, but I would make a motion that we approve the application for Dr. Harvey.
Second.
Okay, got a motion.
Did he have a copy of the Arkansas agreement?
Was it in here? Let me see.
Did we get one?
Yeah, it's in here. Yeah, it's page four.
Okay, thanks.
It's not the full thing, I don't think.
Yeah, it's a summary.
Yeah, it's the important portion.
Okay.
A motion and a second to approve. All those in favor say aye.
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 Oppose? Motion passes. Okay, next up is Courtney Liebering, DBM. Okay, so this one, there was a delay in her reporting of her DUI. It happened in April and then it was reported the following January. I'm guessing after she renewed and realized it was supposed to be.
That's what she says.
Okay, so I, another one, I appreciated her narrative, her explanation. Victoria, what have we typically done in these cases? I realize it's required to notify us in 10 days. I also realize that a lot of people, don't remember that, statute. So what?
Well, and I mean, if we believe her, she says her attorney advisor, Porter, which we have awesome attorneys, but
that's
I mean,
right.
I'm sure that can happen, but again, is that her?
It's not uncommon for people not to know that.
Right, he's an attorney if he doesn't know what.
But is ignorance an excuse for the law? I didn't know what CEQA was.
Right.
And there was a time where the board wanted to talk to these licensees and these physicians, but I think over time.
Yes.
The board determined that that wasn't the best use of anyone's time unless there were future issues or the facts of the matter pointed to something else.
So this one was just late, but we don't need to, I mean, again, I don't want to open a complaint. I mean, I.
Yeah, Madam Vice Mayor Carney, I don't think it's worth pursuing anything further than that.
Okay.
Personally, so I make a motion.
Okay.
So we're, make a motion to accept the license application for Courtney Liebring, DVM.
That's good. I'll second that. So a motion and a second to approve her application. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. And the last one is Timothy Hunt. Yeah, this was a vet board complaint in Michigan. Yeah, that's kind of interesting.
North Michigan.
Pardon?
Marquette. One thing I wrote about him, you know, he sent us like the board order and other things, but he never actually wrote, it would have been much more helpful for me had he written a narrative, unless I missed that piece, where I just like somebody to sum it up, tell me, and so I do not have to go through 800 pages.
I didn't ask him for that when it's a board order, because it's supposed to speak for itself. So.
Okay, gotcha. I felt like I had a hard time. But anyways.
I did request a narrative bill, so you can always do that.
Okay.
Probably not this month, because she had a lot on her plate. But.
Okay, gotcha.
Just a little bit.
I will ask sometimes if I want something, and they can always usually tend to ask for it.
Too. Okay.
And just a note, I didn't see a condition of probation. In Michigan,
so. Was this the one where he said he was on the board and he didn't even understand what the order was?
No.
That's Escalada.
No, it was one of these guys.
The dog required a third surgery because he didn't do what he was approved to do in the first place. Anyhow, I still, at the end of the day.
The other statement.
They're satisfied, I'm satisfied.
Okay, so I would make a motion that we approve Dr. Hunt's renewal application.
Second.
Motion and a second. All those in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? Okay. Section or item number 3, board may review, discuss, and take action on certified vet technician certificate renewal applications. Ms. Frost, you're the lead. The first one up is Sarah McMichael, CBT.
So this one, my concern is that she previously had a reportable event. Which she was aware that you have to report within 10 days and did that, and we moved on. However, this time, we very much did not report within the 10 days. And now it looks more like a pattern to be concerned about. And so I don't know if anybody else feels the same way or if we just want to move on. But,
So I have some concerns here, and okay. This is the one I actually requested a narrative on, because I was like, okay, I want an explanation of a guilty count on attempted aggravated assault of a peace officer.
Right.
That is a huge thing for me.
I was like, that part didn't even get addressed.
Yeah, no. And the narrative was just talking about a DUI thing, and I'm like, you totally glossed over a guilty plea of attempted aggravated assault of a peace officer.
Right.
That is huge. That is totally authority.
Is that a misdemeanor or felony?
So I need explanations.
Well, I think what it ended up as is different.
A class 6 undesignated, whatever that.
Yeah, we were found guilty.
Well, is being reduced after all of these things have happened.
So yeah, I have a lot of questions around that.
And the certificate that was submitted along with it deals with substance abuse.
But we just had a law change too, though, that they took out the moral.
Turpitude.
Well, no, she's been a CBT. So that's not.
This is not an application, this is, right?
Is that only applications, or is that?
This is for renewal.
Across the board?
We don't have to be.
We don't do moral stuff for, we never did for renewals. We didn't have that, right?
We never had.
A moral character reference for renewals, we never needed that, yeah. But yes, they did take that out.
It was for their initial, that was only initial application? Doesn't apply to anything else they do?
Correct.
Okay.
Yes. However, so looking at this in this pattern, if this is a veterinarian, we're seeing them, we're coming up with a plan to make sure, right? Like, we're taking this very seriously. I don't see why this would be any different unless I'm missing, I'm not missing anything, am I?
I'm missing a lot of stuff.
So do I just make a motion to open a case?
Second.
At this point?
You could, or I guess you just want her to come in and explain.
No, this is.
Well, I want to open a case, because I want us to have a plan here.
But to open a case, she needs to be.
Yeah, we need to approve the license still, right? So we need to approve the license still, so that she's still, or certificate, so she's still certified. But then we can also open a case to explore this more.
Yes, and actually, this, you really don't have a chance, a choice, but to renew people's, because they've done what they have to do, which is how they've done their CE.
And she reported, yeah.
Yeah, and I don't see a reason not to approve it, but I.
So you just open a case, yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to make a motion to approve the renewal application. That's first one.
Okay.
Yep. Oh, second, sorry, that's what you're saying.
So a motion and a second to renew her application. All those in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? Okay.
And then I'd like to make a motion to open a case against Sarah McMichael, CBT.
Second.
Okay, a motion and a second. Any further discussion?
No.
Okay. All those in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? Okay, motion passes.
Can we also, since you said there's no, everything was, which I don't think we need to vote on first, right? It's automatically renewed because they've completed all the tasks and whatnot. Any way to make these ones that are automatically get audited?
You could, sure, I think you could direct that.
I would like to direct that they actually did those 10 units, because it's hard to do that and find time to punch a police officer.
Okay, so now we are on to Michael Broyles Shaw.
Can I just make a note to update the agenda? It says DVM on the agenda. Okay. But it is a CBT, it's under CBT.
You checked the wrong box.
Okay. Yeah.
No, he checked the wrong box. It was just taking. But
he is a DVM?
No, he is a CBT, yes. And it's all on.
Thank you.
Yeah, everything's updated. So this one, he's not in Arizona, right?
Right. In California.
Got my notes correct? Okay. And it truly appeared to be a OMG moment, because then he immediately called and emailed the board.
Yeah, this one seemed more legitimate, because he's living in California. He's just maintaining his license here and didn't realize he needed to.
Right, and so it's like,
well, I here as well.
Still have to do that, but he did provide a significant amount of details. So, I mean, to me, it looks satisfied. So, do I need to make a motion to approve the renewal application?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's just do that.
So I'll make a motion to approve the new application for Michael Broyles Shaw, CBT.
Second.
Motion and a second. There's no further discussion.
And is this totally over now, or is this still pending anything in California? So maybe.
I have the impression it was all done.
It's all done. Okay, so I said if there's any updates, if you can just keep us updated if anything new changes.
To me, it appeared resolved.
That's what I was thinking.
On all of the, like, the MAD compliance form, all those things.
Okay.
Okay, so all those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Last one, Gabriel Camacho, CBT.
Yes, so this one, and it is in a different spot, so one second here. This one is a domestic dispute.
This was the
supplemental one.
Yeah. Charged with her.
So again, failed to report.
says that everything is hunky dory right now. And then, oh wait, hold on.
It says the prosecutor in her testimony gives, dropped the charges as of October 22nd.
Because of compliance, it looks like.
Yeah, with paid fines and did counsel.
So anyway, so I guess.
We just weren't informed of this when it actually happened.
Correct.
Correct. So I'll make a motion to approve the renewal application for Gabrielle Camacho CBG.
Yeah, but we gotta make sure they know though that this is not something you wait till renewal for. It's like if something happens, they have to let us know. I don't think it's worth opening a case on that at this point at least, but if we can still let them know, this is not a renewal thing. This is you better tell me within 10 days.
Yeah. Cool. I can do that.
Hopefully it doesn't happen again.
With all.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Okay, so that's a motion for that one.
Okay. Motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
I asked one thing though, and I don't know if this is something that the board can or can't do. And I don't know if we can encourage it or require it, but as an employer, you know, if there's any sort of controlled substance conviction, which these ones don't appear to be that, or violent things, it's something as an employer you want to know. And if the state board knows about it, is there a way to compel that CBT or DVM to show us that they've informed their employer? That's just a question I have.
When you say force them, you know, encourage them.
Yeah, so unless it's a consent agreement. Because every time we've done that, it's always been in the consent agreement where you have to inform them.
Yeah.
So I don't think without that, unless we opened a case and found something, I don't think we can.
And I think every case is different. Like this one's particular seemed very different to me than anything else. You know, it seemed like a one-off private matter to me.
Domestic violence. Yeah.
Well, but the other ones, like, you know,
which is still not okay.
Police officer.
Right.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah. Like, so that seems to be uncomfortable to, because she would have to tell her employer.
Yeah.
That's probably why she didn't tell us either.
It's but again, different than running over a police officer with a vehicle.
Yeah. But this is still memorialized if, God forbid, another case were to come in front of us, we're going to know this happened. So.
But the employer can't see any of this. Right.
Not until it's a consent agreement. No, no, because, well, they could come in and look at records.
You look at the agenda and ask why you're on the
agenda.
Yeah,
that's
true.
Well,
I never thought
that's
about looking at all the board agendas.
Yeah. So someone could come down to the office and request those records, is that correct? Because that's public record?
They would have to be redacted, probably, parts of it.
But this kind of thing would be there.
They sure could, But it's also police records.
So, Victoria, do you want me to do, like, before Dr. Thompson leaves, do you want me to do the investigative committee candidate, or is there anything else?
Okay. Let's do that, because everybody's
Okay. So, we're going to go down. So we're going back to number 10, board may review, discuss, interview, and take action on an investigative committee candidate. So we've obviously interviewed both individuals, and I know Mr. Loheed.
A source that I talked to asked that they not be identified.
I don't think that we can go into executive session. That's why I wanted to.
Out of concern for their safety, that they not be identified as one who gave this information.
Okay. And that's okay. Is the identity of that individual necessary to your story? Can you just share that information and then maybe pass on credibility?
So our first candidate, Whitney Stevenson, what kind of raised my, oh, really? I've never met you, is Red Rock Feed Yard.
Is what, I'm sorry?
Yes, Red Rock Feeding Company in Red Rock, Arizona.
Okay.
She said, my family owns that. I'm in the cattle business, whatever. That's not exactly true. Her grandmother? It's uncle of the owner. No, the brother of the owner who just passed, so the uncle of the current owner had a fling, affair, marriage, must have been a marriage because she's got the last name Stevenson, although I don't know how that works out. So somehow or another, she is the offspring of somebody but it is unrelated to that feed yard. And apparently this young lady and her mother, they have other family members who I guess are okay, this young lady and her mother are con artists who operate outside. So the thing was, don't tell them who I am because they're dangerous and they're con artists, don't trust anything. So we don't want Whitney Stevenson on anything, and we don't want to take her application again, and we don't want to hear from her again, period.
Do you consider Mr. Lougheed the source of that information?
Yes, I know this family.
Okay.
I went to Coral Services.
Okay.
I mean, yes, I've known this family not quite my entire life, but damn near.
Okay. Thank you.
And that's why she would tell me something that she thought, you know, texting that, oh shit, I got to call Jen. So I actually called her on a break because I couldn't get the whole thing. And I asked her, what can I tell these members?
Would that be more executive session? Because that's a hard one. I mean, that's, without knowing more information, it's like that's very difficult.
You don't need more information. I just told you, she cannot be on this, any kind of, have anything to do with us or anybody else or anybody you know. I mean, if you want to be trustworthy and people to trust you, then you can't be associated with this woman. Period. We can't.
Again, it's just hearsay.
There's no ifs, ands, or buts. I'm not bullshitting.
That's very difficult.
And this person, it's fine, but it's a former board member also.
Oh.
This is also a former board member who knows what this body is.
Mark, any legal advice you want to share?
Well, you have two candidates in front of you. Your options are to, you know, approve both of them, approve none of them, or neither of them, and you don't have to take action just because they're in front of you. You don't have to take action on the candidacy.
Okay, we can approve one of them and not the second one, correct?
Yeah.
And you don't have to tell her why you didn't approve either. It's none of her business.
Okay. Yeah.
We don't have to tell her, give any reasons.
So you could just take no action if that's what
you on the second candidate, on the candidate. So you can vote up, down, or take no action.
Okay.
I would just take them one at a time.
They're separate agenda.
Okay, then I'd like to move approval of Mike Booth as a public member of the investigative committee.
Second.
Okay, motion and a second to approve Mike Booth for the investigative committee. Any further discussion? Okay, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes.
I move we take no action on Whitney Stevenson.
Right.
Okay, we have a motion. Do you have a second?
Second.
Okay, a motion and a second. Take no action. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
I'm abstaining from that one.
Take no action.
Trust me.
I'll vote present on there. Well, I just don't have the information, unfortunately.
You got to give me the information.
Way too
They're
much.
Not saying, and the,
no,
the
and I understand what you're saying, but it's just, it's a hard for me to be like, to lambast someone without full information.
Well, it's kind of like what you would do
guys,
without a reference.
Guys,
remember
this
is would you hire that person?
So, it's hard to say.
Still.
But, yeah.
An open session.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank
so,
you for around, Jerry.
Let's see. Let's do number four. Board may review, discuss, and take action on licensees and certificate holders who did not complete required continuing education by December 31st, 2022. In order to renew license certificate for the 2023-2024 cycle, Dr. Wright, you get this one.
Yeah. So, I mean, we didn't have the continuing education completed, so that's a problem. Now, did these people apply and we know they haven't finished, or they just haven't applied yet?
Have they applied to renew? Or
yeah, because they have until the February 1st, until they're late.
Most of them got into the system and...
They just didn't complete. And
I've told them not to complete it because... Yeah. You have to check the box that says, I certify that I've done everything right, basically. Mm. And so I've told them not to check that because that would not be an accurate statement.
So applications were started on all these ones. That's how we found them, basically.
Not all of them.
Oh,
no, they reached out. So they reached out to the board.
It's a mixture of those people.
So this is not an exhaustive list of everybody that didn't complete CE. This is just what we know to this point.
We wouldn't know, right?
Yeah.
And that's,
yeah.
These are the honest people.
The point was that they were honest.
That's
that they've now completed their CE.
That's
it was after the date, and so now what do we do? Well, I mean, I agreed with the memo, the content being like, look, you know, they were honest, they've now met it, they can't use those hours for this next cycle.
Yeah.
So they have completed their CE.
Not all of them. That's a bit, I'm like, we gotta separate who's who. That's where I'm like, okay. So,
but again, if they complete it, if they've owned it, they complete it before February, for as long
Can we direct staff to approve the ones that have completed it? That would qualify for approval, and the ones that have not completed it? What, do we give them an additional 30 days, and then after that we're done?
Or just give them to the end of the month, like they have until the end of the month.
Or the end of the month, yeah, until February 1st, yeah, that's fine.
Because you can get a lot of stuff online.
That's true.
I mean, so was that an easy thing, or do we have to go through them individually?
No, I don't think it's a good idea to do it individually, because there could be people in my email today with the same story. There could be people 2 weeks from now with the same story. So the board needs to kind of make this a blanket decision.
So I'll make a motion then to approve any of the license renewals as long as they finish their CE before February 1st and submit all the relevant paperwork and fees.
Isn't it by January 31st you have to have it submitted again?
Yeah.
Okay, motion. So you don't want to do anything where they get audited again, that they automatically get audited, because we're...
What do we historically do for these ones? It's been 2 years for me on these ones. So
you know, last time, I don't know that there were any, or there was only a couple, because so many people renewed really early last time because they were trying to get the free deal.
Yeah.
that it didn't come up.
Yeah, that's what I'm like.
But
so
I remember.
This seems like an inordinate number to those we've experienced in the past. Is that past? Is that correct?
It's the honest people.
Okay. Yeah. And the fact that they're honest, I don't want to punish them for being honest.
Right.
I would say let's extend it out till January 31st because that is the final date of okay. And then anything after that, then they'll have to come in front of the board again, and we'll deal with those ones.
Sounds good.
I wonder though, for the opioid one, if they didn't do that one, that one was only available until the end of the summer.
I know, I feel bad. I got calls on
that
one.
There's a few of them though, aren't there?
So, if I could expand on that, because it's an interesting factoid. The AZBMA offers the opioid class, and they have decided to turn it off December 31st.
Yes.
People get access to it, but there were like 175 people who had paid for that course but hadn't taken it by December 31st. So they reopened it again for another couple of weeks.
Now, is that the only approved course?
No.
Yeah, I was going to say, okay, so that's not the only one.
Illinois State has one.
Yeah, I was going to say, I thought there was
My point is, so there's only like 10 people on this list. There's 175 people on your list.
There you go. If you want to talk about, this is the honest people. Okay. There's 170 something others.
Yes. Oops. Only 10% are
It's a riveting CE too.
I didn't take it.
It's better than
If you're not a DEA registrant, some people may have signed up for it not knowing that if they weren't a DEA registrant, they didn't need to take it, and then figured it out and were like, oh, I don't have to take it, you know? Because I've run into that before, where they took it anyways, but mine was free, so.
Okay. So we're good on that one?
Yep.
Okay, on to number 5. Board may review, discuss, and take action on American Association of Veterinary State Boards call for bylaws amendments. Dr. Wright.
Yeah, so this is the same one we do all the time for the AVSB. If anybody's gone over the bylaws and sees any issues in there, usually there's not a whole lot of them, but every so often something comes up that either doesn't totally comply with what we do in the state or those kinds of things or suggestions.
What's the deadline?
Yes, which I ran into a couple of years ago. And that would be that public board members have the same access as DVMs and CVTs to any data provided by the AAVSB.
I asked AAVSB about that, and they said that's not accurate. So they said that you got bad information, but that is
from Laney?
I'm still on.
I asked at the last meeting, and they said that was not accurate information, that you have access to everything that we have access to.
Okay, I'll try again. But I was told by.
Yeah, see what they say.
Lady, what's her face?
Franklin.
Franklin. Yes, I would say.
I talked with her directly.
Don't talk to her, get email, and then find out where in the bylaws it is so that we can actually submit a bylaw.
Okay. I will do my research.
Yeah, because then we can, because we can modify that bylaw if that's the case, if everybody would vote for it.
Okay. Is that all?
Holy smokes.
Okay, number six, board may review, discuss, and take action on American Association of Veterinary State Boards pay program for the assessment of veterinary education equivalence program for veterinary technicians. Victoria.
So we had talked about this a long time ago, so this was just going back to November. We're finally just going back to it. The AAVCP has finally launched this program, so equivalency for technicians who graduated from a non-accredited school in another country.
Yes.
So this doesn't solve the issue that of the people we see occasionally who didn't go to a two-year tech school. This is just similar to the pay for vets for techs who didn't graduate from the school. So it's just, this is just an informational item. It's unclear to me whether our board could accept it or not, since in for vets, it's actually in the statutes. So I'm guessing that this would also have to be in statutes if the board wanted to accept it if someone came forward.
And I don't understand why it's only non-US schools. Yeah. Like if it's a school that's unaccredited, it's unaccredited no matter where it is. Why is it within the borders of the United States? We don't accept pay for that. I don't necessarily agree with that. It's like, what makes it better if it's just right across the border and it's still unapproved? It's unapproved.
I don't know the history of how this came to be, and that's in the back of documents you see me double-checking and coming back saying, because this really makes sense. Because I didn't understand either.
I mean, I wouldn't throw out the baby with the bathwater, but I think it's dumb that's how they have that set up. It's like, well, if it's uncredited, it doesn't matter where it is, but...
That's all I have.
So there's nothing we need to vote on that or anything, right?
No, it's just information.
Okay,
number seven, board may review, discuss, and take action on U.S. Food and Drug Administration's notice on transitioning certain over-the-counter antimicrobial products for animals to prescription status.
This is a Mr. Lohi one.
Yeah, so this is informational, too, and I don't know much about it other than it appears to me that it's mostly for food, animal, veterinarians.
So if you don't know about this, you have not been paying attention.
Okay.
And actually, somebody called in from some remote place up in Mojave County that said they didn't have access to a veterinarian. How dare we do this, right?
Yeah.
And it's not us. It's, it's the FDA.
Yeah, exactly. Right. It's like,
and plus they're lying about not having access to a veterinarian.
Right.
Call your congressman.
I think this also relates to item 18 that we're going to talk about, the SB 1053. I think that bill comes in part from somebody like that gentleman called in making that accusation. I think that's part of that. I may be wrong, but I really think that's part of it.
Okay.
And it's not that big a deal. It's very few items.
Well, it's pulling penicillin and everything off, it looks like. So, I mean,
well, yeah,
you wouldn't
penicillin, oxytetracycline.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, when you think about all the different generic brands out there, yeah, it's hundreds of labels. Yeah, but
type of drug, yeah.
Yeah, but the classes of drugs, it's not that many. You don't have any. So it'll be all the little feed stores that have the fish stuff to put in your fish aquarium.
That's what
erythromycin and amoxicillin and whatever else that they have on the shelf, they'll have to take those off.
Yeah, and that's
right, which would be a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because they were the pill size people were just taking.
Yeah. No, they knew exactly what they're doing. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the
it's not going to be horrible. It's not going to hurt anybody.
You just have to have a prescription and a drop ship, basically, not just going to the feed store.
Well, and you'll have to have a VCPR to get a prescription, right?
Yeah. Which I think is good.
That's a great thing.
Yeah.
It'll help these guys, whether they realize it now or not.
Is that something the cattlemen's killing, you know, or they're trying to, or? Because I imagine that's going to be
a vocal, ignorant few.
Just
a few.
Oh, okay.
That
I expect to be a hellstorm.
Ask Victoria to send you my letter. If you asked them how many pounds of weaned calf they had per cow exposed, they couldn't tell you. Mm-hmm. They'd have a blank stare. They don't have a season. These are when the calves are born. They don't. They might calve any damn time. You know, they can't tell whether that cow has a calf. You're a decent herd, a cow's gonna have a calf every 12 months. If it's 13 months, she's gotta go down the road. And these guys, it might be every other year she has a calf.
Yeah.
And they just don't know. Well, it's because they don't use a veterinarian, they don't do things right. I mean, there'll come a time when the public won't put up with it because they're on public trust lands. And you got a cow out there walking around eating stuff, and she's not having a calf. Well, that's like working for free. I mean, that's like you paying somebody, but they don't do anything except sit there. She's not working. She can't be out there eating that stuff.